You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello and good day, San Jose. Welcome to the Stick Hungry Podcast, your home of the San Jose Sharks on the Hockey Podcast Network. My name is Nick Floor. We're doing a late night recording slash reaction to the expansion draft that just took place not even 15, 20 minutes ago for us, Dylan. We're going to give you our initial reactions to the picks that were made, or at least the picks that weren't made, as well as go over, you know, maybe the contemplation that Ron Francis had when selecting the Sharks pick. Before we get into that, we're going to do a quick little shout out to our social media handles. You can follow myself on Twitter at @NickFloor_. You can follow the network at HockeyPodNet, and you can follow the podcast at StickHungryPod. And I forgot to introduce you, Dylan. I'm so sorry.
I'm just sitting here, man? Waiting in the side, but I'm doing good. I'm a little bit disappointed. You know, today was supposed to be like Christmas morning. It was a little bit of a dud. We'll get into it, though.
Yeah, you said Christmas in July, and it's starting to feel a little bit more like Thanksgiving. So, and what I really mean is that we're hoping that this isn't the real main course based on what we saw in this expansion draft. We saw a couple of, I don't want to say underwhelming picks, but we thought they were going to go for broke and kind of run
towards. Well, Nick, I think the main course of today, which no one expected, was fucking Frank Saravalli. I mean, that guy kind of just ruined the day.
Yeah, he came in and just I don't even want to say ruined it, because I mean, you could mute the word Kraken or Seattle for all day, like all day. But there's a significant number of people that I saw on Twitter that were, you know, he's leaking out who they're picking from teams. And I mean, you're basically getting to see your Christmas presents prior to them actually being wrapped. And so you kind of find out Santa isn't real at that point.
Well, I know. And here's the other thing, too. It gets worse. So you asked for like the Air Jordans or whatever, and Christmas Eve, you see the present not wrapped, and it's like a knockoff pair of Jordans. You're getting some close to what you wanted, but it's a knockoff. And I think that's what we get with the Seattle Kraken team, because I think we expected a lot more with the roster.
Yeah, I mean, they had I think Jay Fresh and Evolving Wild had a couple of teams put up that were projected for 100-plus point seasons with about 10, 5
Nick,
to $10 million.
Or are you leaving out our team? Come on now. That was a 100-point team.
We had a pretty solid team as well. We were right there. We were at $81.2 million on the cap, and we had some dynamite names that we picked. And I mean, I didn't run the numbers on it yet to see exactly how our team would have performed. I
think jersey sales would have been nuts for our team.
Yeah, the marketing team would have loved us. But let's just kind of jump in. Let's talk first about the Sharks pick. A surprise, if I'm being completely honest. We had narrowed it down to 3, maybe 4 names in Dylan Gambrell, Ryan Donato, Radim Šimek, which we kind of put at the end there, and then a late bloomer at the end of the party came in. Matt Nieto was actually brought up by a lot of different people.
Not Martin Jones? I heard a lot of people say Martin Jones.
Not Martin Jones, unfortunately. And it goes to show they didn't take on anyone, really any major cap hits like that. But instead, Seattle selects Alexander True. And this one really took me off guard. Like, I even posted a little gif of the guy who's like, what? Because I was so confused. Like, I personally was just lost. And of course, I didn't find out during the expansion draft. Like you said, I found out from a leak on Twitter. So I had like the time to process the information and the time to figure out maybe why they would have gone with True instead of the likes of a Dylan Gambrell. Since it's not Dylan Gambrell and that was your man that we agreed on, I'm going to leave the floor to you to give your explanation as to why you think they went with True instead.
Well, it's interesting because I really did believe it was going to be Gambrell. Looking at this, do I think Alexander True is a true NHL forward? But I was waiting for that. Thank you.
We don't have the soundboard with us right
I know,
now.
I know. I'm here all night, though. But yeah, I just don't know. I feel like this is probably they're looking at this guy probably for their AHL squad down the road. Like, I just don't know. I don't think there's a spot for Alex True on the Kraken roster moving forward. It's just like an organizational depth pick. I don't think there's honestly much thought into it because there weren't great options from the Sharks in the first place. At the end of the day, I don't know. It's pretty underwhelming.
Yeah, underwhelming is the name of the game so far for this expansion draft. And they let themselves, or they left themselves with a very sizable cap space to be able to manipulate in this upcoming, buyer's market, essentially. But my initial reaction, like I said before, was like very hesitant. Like, I didn't understand, why Gambrell's available. Why are you doing this? And Will Herridge and I actually spoke a little bit about this on Twitter. We have a lot of back and forths and a lot of good conversations about it. And, you know, if you really compare the two players, if we're just boiling it down to centers, you compare Gambrell to True, right? You have what with Gambrell? You have a former second round pick who's proven that he can't really do a 3C role. And I mean, he had every opportunity to do it this last season for the Sharks. It just seemed like he couldn't get it done. So his ceiling is essentially 4C territory, and you also know that his offensive upside is limited at best. So that is going to cost you $1.1 million. You're basically getting, what you could assume would be the same floor with Alexander True, but with the possibility of a higher ceiling for a lower price. Now, do I personally believe that Alexander True can be a better centerman moving forward, into the NHL as even like a fourth line center? I honestly don't believe so. He's a lot bigger of a guy. He's 6'5". I mean, he's a gigantic man, and they drafted a couple of really big guys. But I just don't see it as, more in your perspective, I see it more of like an AHL type of move. Cause I mean, I think even Seattle went on record to say that they didn't like any of the selections that the Sharks left them with.
Well, so. I mean, and like the difference in value between the guys available from the Sharks is like fucking razor thin, folks, like razor thin. These guys are all like bottom of the barrel, let's be honest, as far as trade value goes and picking them up in the expansion. So yeah, we lost Alex True. I mean, whoop-de-woo. That's what happens when you have a bad team in the expansion draft.
Yeah, I really loved I loved watching him play for the Barracuda when I would my family and I would go down to Stockton. It's a lot closer to us up here in Sacramento. We would take the hour drive down to Stockton. We'd watch the Heat play the Barracuda, and I Alexander True caught my eye. I loved watching him. He's a big dude who didn't use his body necessarily for just hitting, but for just power forward type of stuff. But it was his skating and his shooting that essentially always kind of held him back from being able to be elevated to the NHL club consistently. He had a good little stint with the Sharks this season, though. He played his ass off on a team where they were forcing veterans on the team, like Patrick Marleau, and the bottom six was just a turnstile at that center position. And I think this kind of just speaks volumes, what Seattle was kind of looking for. I don't think they wanted Gambrell, and obviously they didn't, so they took True. And I don't think you're going to see any side deals with San Jose with them involving these two players either, because, I mean, it's not like the Sharks had to pay them any money to not take Gambrell. So, I guess it's just underwhelming.
Underwhelming of a pick, an interesting pick. Like we said, looking at the board, there's a lot of guys that we didn't expect to see getting drafted by the Kraken. I hope there's a lot of trades that come down for Seattle's sake, because if they come out with this group of players and they don't come out with, at least a few first round picks, a couple seconds, I'm not quite sure exactly what they're doing here. Look at a team like Carolina. Nino Niederreiter and Jake Bean, we talked about it. Those two guys were available. They did not get selected today.
No, not at all. I think that was probably my biggest surprise selection out of all of them. I mean, you're literally sitting there, you're staring down the barrel of greatness, and there's no way there's no side deals done. Like, they're not going to be Thrashers bad. They're not going to be Atlanta Thrashers bad. But if they don't come away, like you said, with at least a couple first round picks from this, they're not going to be anywhere near Vegas good. in my opinion, or at least within the next couple of years. You know, Vegas had that miracle run.
Either way, like, I just don't think either way they're going to be as good as Vegas.
Yeah.
And maybe they have a magical run like Vegas did, but come on, Vegas was lucky that first year. And to be honest, I respect the route that they've taken looking at the roster and saying, you know what, we might as well just start this off as more of a traditional rebuild and build this from the ground up. And I think that's kind of what they're doing here. At least that's what we're expecting to see tomorrow with the return that they get, you know, assuming they get a couple first round picks, maybe some second round picks as well.
Yeah, just taking a look on Cap Friendly right now, based on all the information that was submitted, they have, if I'm doing this correctly, they have just under or just around $29 million in cap space. If you just for those who are just trying to think about, okay, well, who's in that area? Just taking a look right now, the Arizona Coyotes are ahead of or just below them with 28.7, and the Minnesota Wild are right there with 29 million as well, with big free agents on both of those teams that are either coming in or going out. So you're looking at this team and just below them with below and above is weird in this situation, because below them means more cap space. So with just a little bit more cap space with than them at $29.5 million are the Ottawa Senators. And we see where the Ottawa Senators are right now in their current rebuilding process. So if Seattle can use this market to try to go out there and pull in some more notable free agents that maybe they said, hey, you know, we're not going to try to pull them from this team and then sign them. We're just going to try to sign them through and through. That
Nick,
could be an
this
avenue.
Is what I want to see. This is what I want to see. A bunch of trades come in tomorrow. You know, Ron Francis picks up some first round picks, second round picks, third round picks. Then when the market opens up, a bunch of offer sheets come from the Seattle Kraken. Because they acquired all these draft picks and they have this salary cap, they can go out and get legit young superstars. You know, and you could handcuff a team like the Vancouver Canucks. They can't match $11 million for Elias Pettersson.
And that's first thing that came to my mind, too. I was like, Elias Pettersson and Cale Makar, baby.
Yeah, those two guys. And, you know, their teams can't afford $11, $12 million. Yeah, that's expensive for those players. But if you're the Seattle Kraken at this point, fuck it. Overpay for a few years. Get those superstars in the building.
Yeah, I mean, and exactly. I mean, I've seen that get thrown around as well as a couple of really good options.
I thought it was the first one.
Great minds think alike. Don't sell yourself short, Dylan. I think Patrick Laine is on that list, too. They could go out and find a way to snag him. But just on the subject of like Columbus players, I think this is probably the one. If I'm thinking of the top two things that shocked me the most, it was the Carolina pick and the Columbus pick. Because I don't know if any of our listeners who follow the Soda Pod, it's our Minnesota Wild podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network. It's hosted by Isha Jerome and State of Hoppy, a couple of really great dudes to banter and talk about. And they had their bonus crack clips on Twitter. And those little clips would essentially, they'd go through each team and they'd say who they think is getting picked and why. And I think Columbus was actually the shortest video that the Soda Pod put out on Twitter, or the shortest clip at least, because they said, Max Domi, next, like move on. And we did the exact same thing, Dylan, in our roster builder. We saw Columbus and we were like, oh, look, it's Max Domi. It's
What was it, 30 seconds we spent on that one? It was easy.
At the absolute most we spent. I think I spent more time talking about the Soda Pod right now than I did talking about our pick of Max Domi on Tuesday.
I think you're right.
But they select Gavin Bayreuther, a defenseman.
I mean, hell
There's
of a
no
name.
Fucking way that they didn't have to get a pick to not take Max Domi. There's no way.
No, not a chance, especially being a center, you know, Max Domi. And like we said in our bonus episode, the chance that you can draft a 50-point guy or a 60-point guy that's a center in an expansion draft, that's very low. And they had that opportunity and they obviously passed on it. So, yeah, you got to think that price was pretty high to push them away from Max Domi. I don't know. It seems crazy to me.
Yeah, I don't understand it, but I It's not my job to understand it, luckily. We try to provide good content for everyone listening in, and I think everyone is having the exact same reaction that we are on their own levels of, you know, maybe when this comes out, when this, whatchamacallit, this, sorry, my brain's this late at night, I can't think. But when this episode comes out and people are listening in, maybe the side deals will get released and shit's going to start getting crazy. You know, that's what I want to see. I wanted pure chaos, and this was just controlled. This was almost too vanilla of a draft.
It was piecemeal. It was fed to us over the course of a day. I wanted it all to be in a half hour. You know, slam it right in your face. Here we go.
Like a potato gun, just boom.
Yeah.
Bam. Holy shit.
Exactly. And I wanted Gary Bettman to shoot the potato gun, but no, I didn't get any of that.
I wanted them to have a potato gun, but with the fish, instead of having them throw it, I wanted JT Brown to potato gun, like air blast a fish in the air, boom, goes up, and then beast mode. Marshawn Lynch has to catch it in the end zone and then talk about the pick.
That'd be amazing. But did they have – I didn't watch the whole like series or the whole episode. Did they have a bunch of clips of like people fishing and stuff? Wasn't that like a theme throughout the whole episode?
Yeah, the Pacific Northwest and specifically Seattle, it's very wet. You know this, Dylan. So fishing,
I mean,
I live here.
But it's just like, my God, like I don't even fish, for Christ's sakes, and I live here. Like, that's not all we do.
That's all they do in Seattle. They fish and they fantasize over Russell Wilson. That's all they do.
All day. Starbucks. Yeah.
And drink coffee, I guess. I mean, there was Kevin Weeks did a great job just going from place to place and doing whatever it is that he had to do involving the different things. And then the Pike Place fish throw was kind of funny. Although, again, another thing that got leaked out was the Pike Place fish throw. Right, so, like, when you see it, you're like, I've seen this three times with four different guys' names. So it's the novelty is gone. You know, the honeymoon is already over. We didn't even get married yet. So
no. Yeah. And it's just, I don't know, man. It's just disappointing. Like we said, it was Christmas morning and you know, all this buildup, and then it came out to this.
I got Asics. I didn't get Nikes. What the fuck? Santa?
Exactly. Like, I don't know. I'm just disappointed. I'm not happy. Normally, we kind of eat this information up when there's leaks about different things. We love it. But I think, you know, as a whole, I mean, I know everybody doesn't agree with this, but I know a lot of people were disappointed about this, that all this information was being leaked. And in a regular situation, you wouldn't see people complaining at all, I don't think.
Yeah.
It was a different situation. It's unique to see Twitter kind of come together like that and be disappointed about a show being ruined, about information being leaked. You don't see that too often.
Yeah, I've never seen Frank Saravalli get tagged in as many posts in this in my entire existence. Maybe he's doing it to boost like his inquiry numbers on Twitter or something.
Oh, yeah. This is Frank's big day. Yeah.
Yeah. Gord Miller from TSN actually just tweeted out. I know this isn't a live thing, but well, I'm going to say it anyways. Seattle side deals for the expansion draft, and there are apparently several.
Whew, there we go.
Will be announced tomorrow after 1 p.m. Eastern time. Do the math for me on Pacific time. I can't think after 7 o'clock.
That should be 9, right?
All right.
No, I have no idea.
3 hours, so we'll just say 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, something like that. because I always know 3 Eastern is 12.
It's 12.
Here.
It's 12.
So
it's 12.
When the NHL's trade/signing freeze comes off. So I expect there to be an absolutely astronomical number of deals that come through. I want to see people lose their mind. I want to see franchises and fan bases go in on their teams verbally. I just want them to all have mental breakdowns as we just sit back and watch the NHL burn to the ground to see what Seattle got for not selecting specific players.
Nick, I want to see all this too, man, but I feel like you're setting us up for a disappointment here. I don't feel like any of that's going to happen.
Only
Frank's
time will
come
tell.
And ruin the day again. He's on a roll. Nothing's going to stop that old Sarah.
It's going to be so like the news is supposed to be leaked out on the deals at like 10. And Frank's going to be on Twitter at 8 a.m. be like, all right, boys, I got the deals ready for you. She's just like, no, shut the fuck up, Frank. God damn it.
I know. So, some of the memes that are going around are pretty good, like the one saying that Gary Bettman's going to leak Frank Saravalli's kids' Christmas presents to them on December 24th and stuff like that. So that's pretty good. That's at least one good thing that's come out of this.
If the side deals that come out on Thursday at 1 Eastern time are amazing and we can just go on and on about them, it'll be like... decent appetizers, absolute trash can entree, but then the dessert cart comes out and you're just foaming at the mouth with how delicious it is.
Oh, well, yeah, dessert cart can be good enough where you actually forget some of the bad food that you consumed in a restaurant. It has that power over you. So, yeah, there's an opportunity there.
There's a lot of restaurants down in the United States I know make their living off of amazing desserts but terrible food. Sonic being one of them, Dairy Queen another, so... there's just too many to name. So
yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. I mean, we have the same issue up here, just on a smaller scale.
It's just Tim Hortons and then a couple of one-offs.
don't even get me started on Tim Hortons. Tim Hortons is terrible now. I take no pride in it anymore. It's over. It's over.
Damn, that's unfortunate.
It's not even a Canadian company anymore. It's owned by like a Brazilian and American conglomerate. So yeah, there you go. Very
there's your Tim Horton fun fact of the day.
Yeah, there's your Canadiano for the day.
Well, Dylan, I mean, we were going to talk a little bit about a couple of these picks, but I guess we can just brush over them quickly before we end this episode. It's going to be a short, quick one just for those that want to hear us ramble and complain about what we got. A couple of notable ones, Jared McCann. So Kyle Dubas basically traded a seventh and Hollander to protect the rest of his players. So Jared McCann was selected from Toronto. Yanni Gourde, another good player that was taken from Tampa Bay.
Hey, we called that one.
You're right. You know what else we contemplated was Vitek Vanacek, goaltending for Washington. That was one of those players where we really loved Brendan Dillon for Seattle. But we looked at Vitek Vanacek as well. It's like, hey, you know what? It's a good goaltending option.
That tells you how bad we did with our mock draft, that we're like, hey, we actually considered this one guy that's on the list.
Like, we didn't consider Geeky at all. So.
No, I honestly think we hit on like maybe four or five names on this list.
Yeah. Hayden Fleury. I know we got Hayden Fleury,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we did.
They got the Hayden Kale duo. So
yeah, they
we'll
got
see
the two Fleurys, yeah.
Two brothers. They're trying to emulate the Sedin twins
what do you,
type of
what do you
aspect.
Call... a group of Fleurys. Is it a Fleury of Fleurys?
Is it a Fleury?
Ooh, there you go.
A Fleury of Fleurys.
Folks,
I like that.
At Stick Hungry Pod on Twitter, let us know.
Yeah.
What I mean, is a group of Fleurys? Is it a blizzard? Drafted... oh, it's a blizzard.
Oh, it's a fucking blizzard. Oh, we're back to the fuck. We've circled back to the desserts. That was
oh,
the
no,
whole
no.
Play.
I was, oh, no, no. I was thinking like the snowstorm, actual blizzard. That
yeah,
just shows how American
you are.
There's a dessert that
you're going
item
to the in dessert. Here. There's a dessert item here called the blizzard
oh,
from Dairy
I, yes,
Queen.
We have it here yeah. too, but
I don't know.
Anyways, let's move on. We got to move on from that.
Mark Giordano. I believe we already spoke about him. Yeah. John Quenneville, Jonas Donskoy, former Shark alert, sound the fucking horn, or as I believe the
I don't have
the
it today, man. I'm not in the studio. I don't have the reggae horn.
The gentleman who announced him said Jonas Donskoy, so that'll go down infinitely, you know, just in infamy.
Wasn't it Marshawn Lynch or something?
No. I believe it was a basketball player.
I didn't watch it. I just heard this all secondhand.
Yeah, it was Donskoy, and that's almost as bad as when Evander Kane called him Donsky, so that was pretty good. Jamie Oleksiak was a pretty decent pick, in my opinion. You're talking about a solid blue liner. I feel like that's a very underrated in this whole scheme of things.
Hit on that one, too. We hit on Oleksiak,
yeah.
didn't we?
Yeah.
Dringer, hey, his everyone sister, hit on it's that. A good family line. Just got to throw it in there. His sister, Canadian Olympic gold medalist.
That's there awesome. Congratulations.
He was like 10
Carson,
years ago.
Carson Soucy, I think, is actually probably the most underrated pick out of everyone on this list. I am not subscribed. Sorry. I follow on Twitter Sound the Foghorn, as well as, obviously, the Soda Pod. And there was a big poll that was put out there between a possible starting goaltender or top six defenseman. And top six defenseman that I believe Brett Marshall put out there was Carson Soucy. Very underrated pick here. So,
you know, I like Carson Soucy. I think he's a good player. I just think Kakkonen has really good potential and could be, you know, a legitimate starting goaltender. But at the end of the day, I don't blame them for going this route. I don't blame them for taking the defense.
When you look at the other goaltenders, it makes sense. When you look at Driedger, Vanecek, and then my favorite pick, Joey. Well, I pronounce it a little differently. I think it's just Decord, but I pronounce it D'accord, which means okay in French. So that's why my previous tweet on Twitter says, my French sources are telling me he's just okay. So
that's awesome. That's awesome.
Dad jokes coming in hot. The French dad jokes.
Man, we're coming in hot with the jokes today. I don't know, people. Watch
it's late night Stick Hungry podcast. Just third episode this week. We're cranking them out. We got another crazy episode lined up for you guys. It's going to be an amazing week for all the Stick Hungry listeners. So
100%.
Jordan Eberle, shout out to you, Dylan. That was your pick. You made that decision.
I did. And, you know, another Canadian hero, shout out the World Juniors. I don't even know what year it was. It was like 2008, scoring in overtime. Anyways, great pick. I think, you know, I think it's important to have a couple guys that can at least put up 20, 25 goals with a new team. And I think that's what you get with Jordan Eberle.
Yeah, fresh start has helped a lot of people. You see it with plenty of different guys over the course of their careers. And that's exactly what this is going to be for Eberle. Just a quick refresh, revamp, and hit the reset button. And Sharks fans know all about the reset. Another
rebuild,
pick.
Rebuild.
We could talk about Brandon Tanev really quick and the greatest headshot in NHL history. love that picture. Can't wait to see it in the Seattle jersey.
Looks like he's seen a ghost in that picture or something. You know?
Yes. Every single time he just sees the ghost.
Yeah.
If you go back and actually look at his years, he just sees the exact same fucking ghost every year, even back to the Winnipeg days.
That's amazing.
And I think the last pick I want to – there's two picks I want to talk about. Vince Dunn from St. Louis, great defensive pick. They decide to not take on the albatross that is known as Tarasenko and go with the more defensively sound pick. And then Mason Appleton, a good center for Winnipeg, another player who could definitely use a fresh start in a new scene. Everyone knows about how weird or – I don't want to say cancerous, but just how – awkward it is up there in Winnipeg with all the roster shuffling and everything going on there with their problem. So Dylan DeMello was not lucky enough to be selected. Instead, it was Mason Appleton. But circling back to their jerseys, how did you feel about their jerseys that they unveiled, if you saw them?
I didn't see them.
Oh, God.
From what I think I did actually catch a glimpse of the white ones. The white ones look pretty sick. I love the entire look. I love the branding of the Kraken overall. So anything that they put out, I'm probably going to like it, to be honest.
Yeah, it was amazing, honestly. The white one was very clean. I was talking to Jordan at Splash_Cousin. He loved the away jersey a little bit more than the home. The home's got that dark-esque jersey to it. Nice little turquoise-esque trim, and then obviously the black the red trim that I personally don't like. I think they should just keep the red in the eye and leave it as it is. But luckily, again, not my job. But yeah, the jerseys look great, honestly. They're amazing. They're going to look even better on ice in the full getup. And whoever thinks they look bad needs to get their eyes checked. Just taking a look at moving forward, something that, you know, we're going to address here pretty soon. We have the entry draft coming up this Friday. We're going to have an interview prior to. It's going to be dropping the morning of. We're going to talk about options for the Sharks. And we're also going to just take a look at what Doug Wilson had said after this expansion draft. Just a quick quote. And everyone keeps asking about goaltending because obviously everyone wants to know the answer. Is Martin Jones going to get bought out? Expansion draft's over, Doug. Clock is ticking. You only have until a certain day. Just a quick quote from Doug. He says, we've already started to address goaltending. We're looking at a couple of forwards that can play in, as we say, the man's role, whatever the hell that means. and then he said, sometimes last year we put some kids in some roles that was probably a little bit much for them. So I think that's a hell of a quote from Dougie, Mr. DW Senior, maybe he's going to go after a couple of big-bodied guys. Maybe not. I don't know. I still think he's going to buy out Jones. He keeps kind of like kicking the can or kind of brushing it off here and there. But I personally think that the buyout's going to be here pretty soon, preferably by the end of the week.
Nick, I'm having some technical difficulties here, folks. He's been driving the bus for the last little while as I've tried to connect my mic. Obviously, it's not working because I probably sound like absolute dog shit right now. How do I sound?
No, this is something that the Stick Hungry podcast listeners are used to. You sound just like Kyle McLaren.
Okay. On that note, we should probably wrap things up here.
Yes, there's another bonus episode we're going to do this week. Look out for it. Really quickly, you can find me on Twitter at @NickFloor_. You can follow the podcast at @StickHungryPod. And you can follow the network at @HockeyPodNet. Kyle, Dylan?
You can follow myself at @McLaren_K. No, you can actually follow myself at @DYL_THPN.
Awesome. Thanks again, guys, for listening in. Everyone have a great rest of your day. Stay safe. Buckle up. We got a crazy fucking offseason ahead of us. We have the entry draft. We got free agencies. We got buyouts. I'm looking at you, Doug. Do the fucking right thing. Okay, bye, Martin Jones. Everyone stay safe and drink your water.